You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom, and thank you for joining us for this podcast for Save the Marriage. I'm here because I want to help you save your marriage or improve your marriage. Now, as I've said in the past, saving a marriage has several different pieces to it. One is about connecting with your spouse. The other is about changing yourself, and that's about self-growth. I'm all about growth, and today I wanted to go back to that area of growth. And it drew some questions about why I would be talking about perception. So I answered that, which drew some more questions about thought. What do I mean by thought? And so I wanted to talk about that a bit. You see, we have this issue with our thoughts that often get us into trouble, especially in relationships, and I want to talk about that. And this is from a very individual model, but I want us to talk some about what this means for you. First, let's talk about where thoughts come from. There's this idea that, the mystery of the mind, and I can tell you that science has yet to figure out where the mind comes from. But there is the function of the mind, which really has the primary function is simply to create thoughts. Good thoughts, bad thoughts, up thoughts, down thoughts, creative thoughts, mundane thoughts, just lots of thoughts. In fact, our brain is bombarded with thoughts every day. And some of those thoughts get us into trouble. Really, if you think about it, our mind only does one of two things, and they're really from two pieces of our mind. There's the one part that's just creating these thoughts. Some can be useful, but there are a lot of just thoughts out there. And then there's this other part of our mind that's the one who's the observer. The observer mind is kind of stepping back and watching what you're doing and talking to you about that. So you got this mind that's creating thoughts and having thoughts and weaving thoughts and going back and around and holding on to thoughts. And one of my favorite phrases is entertaining a thought, holding on to that thought and giving energy and growing it. Then there's the other part that's watching that process. Have you noticed that point? Sometimes you might be in the middle of an argument and you're sitting there and you can just kind of step back and there's a part of your mind going, what are you doing? Why do you keep going down this path? It's just observing you getting yourself into more and more trouble. That's the observing mind. It's the same part that can watch you have some thought and continue to hold on to that thought and cook that thought and entertain that thought and run it around and around and around and just say, why do you keep having that thought? Let me give you an example of how both of those pieces might work. Recently, I was on a college visit. My wife and I took our son on a college visit for a college he wanted to look at. And so we were looking around. It was a large campus, and there's no way that we could follow this tour all around campus. It was just too big. And so in order to make the tour something that it was a normal tour length, hour and a half, the tour guide took us to the top of a tower. And so there we are on the top of a tower, and the first thing I notice is that the walls aren't very high. Now, I don't have a huge fear of heights, but, I do have sometimes that funny feeling in your feet or in your hands when you're looking down from a high place. I'd have that, but it's not really a fear. I've done enough climbing and other things that it's just not one of my fears, but I understand that fear. And I know that a common thought that people have when they're on the top of something like that is that thought that, they could just jump off. They could just jump off right then. There's nothing that stops them from jumping off. Who wouldn't stop them? What would it be like to do that? And we have that thought. Now, that's not a particularly useful thought. But there's that other part of our mind that's observing going, oh, that's you're not going to do that. That's a ridiculous thought. That's the part that keeps us from making some rash decision just because there's some thought in our head. So, it's a very common feeling. It's the same thought process that sometimes people have as they're driving down the road of going, I could just run my car off the road, or I could run my car into that sign or something like that. It's a kind of a normal thought that we have. It's a normal part of our abnormality of thinking that we then have this observer that's going, well, that's not useful to have. Just observing that and watching it. So we have these two pieces of our mind, and one is just creating thoughts. And so right now, I just want you on a piece of paper to write two different things. on one side of the paper, I want you to write thought as real. Thought as real, as if it is real. It's true. Thought as real. And then you draw a line, and at the other end of that line, you put thought recognition. Thought recognition. Now, that is a continuum, and it represents the continuum upon which all of us live. Between the place of believing that a thought is real and understanding that the thought is just a thought. And on that continuum, we all live to some degree, often in the middle, rarely at the extremes. Let's talk a minute about the extremes, though. On one end, thought as real. If it pops into my head, it must be true. Now, when I say that, you know that's not true, right? Because we all understand that. Well, we don't all understand it. My early experience as a clinician was working actually in a mental hospital. And I dealt with people that when they had a thought, they thought it was real. Thought as real was where they lived. So if they had a thought that their radio in their car was talking to them, or they had a thought that the government was looking after them in that helicopter just over the hill, or that they were having thoughts put into them from outer space, they believed it to be true. They could not have a place in them that said, oh, that's just a thought. Their brain had a break in it, and that's called schizophrenia or mental illness. And so schizophrenia, mental illness, marks the end of that continuum as thought as real. Every thought is real. At the other end are those who realize that when a thought is passing through their head, it is just that. It's just a thought. They realize that the thought that's in their head, for instance, when I was at the top of that building, if somebody around me was having that thought, because I kind of looked over and went, you know, this would be a horrible place to jump from. But that's a thought, an irrational thought that I could go, I'm not going to do anything about that. It's just a thought that pops in my head. And so I let it go. That's thought recognition, realizing that the thought is a thought. Now, we have times when we play either end of the continuum, but we don't live at either end all the time. So when you're at that midpoint, let's talk about what causes you to lose track of these thoughts. Sometimes when we are feeling bad, low energy, depressed, anxious, having problems, having difficulties, maybe even physically ill, some of those things that sap away our energy, we tend to float towards the idea that the thought is real. If it happens in our head, then it must be real. The more energy we have, the more of a higher point of perspective we have, then the more often we can go, oh, that's just a thought. Now, the reason I bring this up is because a thought is a thought, I think we can all agree upon. The problem is we forget that we are thinking and confuse it with reality many times. We think that a spouse, for instance, is angry with us, or we think that a spouse, for instance, is ready to call it quits, or we think the spouse, for instance, is cheating on us, only to find that that's not true later. But we convince ourselves so much of it that we then begin to react by that. We begin to react as if that thought is real. Can you think of times when that's happened for you? That you thought something was real and you started down that line only to find that it was not real. It was simply your thought that you were having that you had made real. So there's a pattern that comes into that. And the pattern is that our thoughts create our emotions, which then create our perceptions, which then feed our thoughts, which create our emotions, which create our perceptions, which feed our thoughts. Now, we have this mindset that something happens to us, we have an emotional response, and then we think about it. In reality, we think about it, we have an emotional response to it, and we experience it in that order. Let me offer a little bit of proof for you. I've done this, so I'm going to do it cautiously. I've done this in lots of workshops. I want you to make yourself angry. Well, let me stop you and just think about how you might make yourself angry, because I don't want to leave you hanging. How would you, if I were to say, make yourself angry, how would you do it? If you're like probably 99.99% of the people I've ever asked, they would say, I need to think about something that made me angry. Notice that. I need to pull a memory, which is really only a thought from the past, I bring into the present. And when I bring it into the present, I make it real and it makes me feel a certain way. So I will think about something that makes me angry and then I'll experience the emotion of anger. The problem is that then colors perception. When I did it in workshops, what I realized was for a while people were stuck in that mood. I'd created a mood and then they began to perceive those around them and me and what else was being said as part of that. And then it began that loop where they thought about other things that made them angry. And they probably thought about how I was making them angry, and around it would go. So I no longer ask people to do it, only to think about how they would do it. Because our thoughts create our emotional life. So let's think about those thoughts and those emotions as a linear progression. What I'm thinking about is going to lead to how I'm feeling. Now, I'm not saying that feelings are worthless or useless or anything like that. I'm just saying that our emotions come out of our thought process. Which leads me to a couple of points I want to really be clear about. Number one is that thoughts are not real. They may have some facts associated with them, but they are not real. They are missing pieces. I often say it's kind of like fiction. You know, sometimes fiction is based on some fact, but it's not all of the facts. It's a story that's been woven around fact sometimes. As I said in another podcast, scientists say that there are 11 million impressions per second that are coming through our senses. Touch, taste, hearing, seeing, right? Those are ways that we bring information into our mind, into our brain. 11 million pieces of information, 11 million impressions are coming at us every second. And our brain, our conscious brain, is capable of processing maybe 40 on a good day, maybe 40 at a time. So notice that leaves out about 10,999,960 other pieces of information that may have added to what we were understanding. So our thoughts are not real because they are missing pieces. They're missing pieces because we can't perceive it all at the same time. And so we pick and choose what we're going to understand, which is where our perceptions then feed our thoughts. So around that circle is going because our thoughts just don't have all the pieces. Now, it appears that we are thinking in completeness and logically. We convince ourselves of that, but it's not the case. A thought is just a thought. Now, our mind just creates thoughts. That's what it does. Some are useful, some are not. And that's the second important point, that it just creates thoughts. It doesn't mean that they're bad thoughts or good thoughts. It just means that they are thoughts. And I like the idea of, is it useful or is it not? So now let's loop back a minute for what that means about our emotions. Your emotions are something important. They're a barometer of how your thinking is going. When I go to the beach, my father has on the wall of their beach place a barometer. A barometer is an instrument that tracks the air pressure based on whether we have good weather coming or bad weather coming. And so when I get there, I always set the needle, the marking needle, to where the measurement is. And that marking needle will tell me when the measurement changes. So I set it when I walk in. And then I'll walk by every now and then throughout the next few days and I'll look at it. And if I notice that it's now above that measurement, I know that it's a good day above or at that measurement. It's a good day to go to the beach. It's a good day to go outside. High pressure is a good indicator that things are clear, that it's a good thing to do. When I notice it's below the needle, I then need to say, what else are we going to do today? Because it might get stormy. Low pressure, low feelings are an indicator that something is amiss. So it's the same with your emotions. Your emotions are your barometer to your thinking pattern. If you're feeling gratitude, these are the higher emotions. I'm not saying bad emotion, good emotion, but higher emotions. The ones that I would prefer to have are things like gratitude and joy and contentment, enjoyment of life. All of those are those emotional states are the higher points. And so if that's what I'm feeling, then I need to say, you know, everything in my thought process is okay. I don't have to worry about it. It doesn't matter what I'm thinking about, because it's leading to a good place. However, if I'm feeling the lower emotions, not bad emotions, but lower emotions, meaning depression, anger, resentment, shame, guilt. And when I mean guilt, I mean I haven't done anything, I just feel it. And by the way, that's really shame. But those lower emotions, resentment, those kinds of things lead us to lower emotions. At that moment, I need to think, what am I thinking about? Let me track this down and see what I'm thinking about, because when I realize what I'm thinking about, then I go back to the primary truth of this, which is a thought is just a thought. But I need to be aware of what's creating that emotional state so I can deal with it. Okay, so when I'm having a lower mood, when my energy is low, when my distraction is there, when I am somehow in that depressed place, that resentment place, then I need to say, okay, what am I thinking about? Oh, okay, now that I know what I'm thinking about, I need to remember a thought's a thought. That's the thought recognition. It pulls me away from that place where I'm playing that the thought is real to the thought recognition that a thought is just a thought. So this is the beginning point of how you stop those thoughts that are doing you no good, that are useless. The first thing is you realize that thoughts are designed to pass through you and move on. So you want to allow it to go. You want to allow it to go through your body. It's kind of like thinking of a thought as a falling leaf that falls and lands on a stream and is just washed on down. You just watch it go and you go, wow, isn't that interesting? Look at that thought. Oh, interesting thought I had. And you let it go. Now, that can take some training and some practice to get to the place where a thought comes in, you just recognize it, it's just a thought, and you let it move on down. So let's talk about a couple more strategies of how to deal with that. The first thing is, when you can't just let it go, I want you to imagine a large stop sign. And then in your head, not out loud, but in your head, you yell to yourself, stop. So imagine a stop sign at the same time internally yelling, stop. And I mean internally because if you're doing this in public, you'll either scare people or make them think that something is wrong with you. Neither of which are true. You're just trying to get back to letting that thought go. So imagine a stop sign, yell stop to yourself. Practice that over and over. Your brain will get better at it. Your mind will get better at it. If it still persists, then you need to distract yourself. Find something that will break that thought process. Because what you're going to find as you do this is there are times when you get a thought and you just keep playing with it. You don't let it go. You entertain it, as I said earlier. You entertain that thought. You give it energy. You play with it. You kind of enjoy that thought, even though it's not helpful. You're getting something out of it, which is often about relieving yourself of responsibility, blaming someone else, moving outside of the place where you are in control of your life. So find some way of distracting yourself from that process. If you can't just imagine a stop sign and yell to yourself in your head, stop, and that break the cycle, then distract yourself by doing something else. Take a walk, read a book, play a game, talk to somebody. Do something that's going to engage your brain. I find it useful to do something that engages my brain by physical activity. So sometimes when I'm lost in my thoughts because I'm doing some work, I'll take a break and I'll go out and I'll do a little slacklining or a little paddleboarding, a little running, something that gives my brain another place to be. And that breaks the train of thought, and that thought then just naturally goes away. So your first strategy, if you can't just let it go, is to imagine a stop sign and yell to yourself. The second strategy is to distract yourself. You keep practicing this. You're going to find that it doesn't happen the first time. Because we get in a habit of not doing this, that when we do have these thoughts that act real, we don't know how to just let them go. So it takes some practice. What you're doing and your brain is breaking their neuronal pathways. The neurons line up around when you keep having these thoughts. And so you're trying to break the neuronal pathway so that your brain doesn't keep going straight down that little gully, but it does something else. And that's going to help your mind break away from those thoughts. And then what you want to do is monitor your mental hygiene. Now, mental hygiene is an outdated term that I still love, which means that you're going to take care of your brain, kind of like we would take care of our body. You know, it's a good thing to wash your body, keep it away from dirty water, keep it out of trouble, not get ground up dirt into a cut, things like that. That's hygiene, right? Their mental hygiene is making sure that you're not exposing yourself to things that are going to create this thought, emotion, perception place in a negative way. For instance, if you're in the middle of a marriage crisis, you probably don't need to be watching movies and watching TV shows and having different pieces of information coming at you about how marriages always end up breaking up and how affairs are out there. You just don't need those to be creating those thought patterns. You don't need to be talking to someone who's going to just side with you and gang up on your spouse. You don't need to be constantly looking for information about how you can suddenly find some way to get around your spouse's defense systems, right? That'll keep you stuck in those thoughts. You don't need to find yourself sitting and looking through all those painful memories and all those painful pictures and things like that at this point. You want to monitor what's coming into your system so that you can make sure that you're attending to what's creating those thoughts in the background. Okay, so let's talk about just a recap of where we've been today. First thing is to realize that our minds do only one of two things. They are either creating thoughts or observing you watching you having those thoughts. So it's creating or observing. And usually that happens simultaneously. And sometimes the observing part is very useful in reminding you that that's just a mind creating a thought, and a thought is just that. It's a thought. It's not reality. It's a thought. It may have pieces of reality, but it is not reality. We don't perceive everything accurately. So thoughts are not real. They have missing pieces. We have lots coming at us, and we miss those pieces that are going to conflict with how we understand things. But remember the cycle. Thoughts create our emotions, which create our perceptions, that then feeds back to thoughts, which then feed back to emotions, back to perceptions, and around it goes. So we then use our emotions as a barometer of how our thinking is doing. If we're having the higher thoughts, higher emotions, we don't worry about our thought process. But if we find ourselves in the lower emotions of depression, resentment, anger, frustration, unforgiveness, shame, then we want to say, what am I thinking about that's got me stuck here? As soon as you are on to that thought, you need to remind yourself, A thought is a thought, and try to allow it to go. If that doesn't work, B, remember the stop sign and the yelling in your head, stop, to distract yourself from that thought, to teach your mind not to keep going to that thought. If that doesn't work, C, you distract yourself. And you keep doing that until you've taught yourself that that thought doesn't have to take residence in your head. And at that point, all you're needing to do is monitor your mental hygiene. Now, think about how much impact this could have on working both on your marriage and in your life. If you suddenly realize that a lot of that mental energy you're having is wasted because you're buying into the thoughts and believing that they are reality and they are not. The core thing I want you to remember is a thought is just a thought. Okay, so now it's your turn. I want to tell you how you can help us help you. First is, if you have subscribed to this podcast and you're listening by iTunes or Stitcher or one of the other podcast programs, then you might want to go over to the blog. That you can get there by going to the SaveTheMarriageBlog.com, SaveTheMarriageBlog.com. If you go to SaveTheMarriageBlog.com, you'll find the blog that holds this podcast, and you can leave us a comment. And that comment, I read every single one of them and often respond to them if it needs a response. But it's also a place that you can leave ideas, not just responses to this, but also ideas on what you would like to hear in this podcast. You can also get to us just by emailing podcast@savethemarriage.com. That's podcast@savethemarriage.com. Now, I want to be clear. That's not how you get information to me that you want an answer to. You have some question about your relationship. That's not what that's about. You can find help through my staff. You can come through the Save the Marriage website and get to me or my staff and find some answers. This is simply a way for you to say, hey, I would love to hear about this on your podcast. So again, that email is podcast@savethemarriage.com. You can give me some questions that you want answered on this or some statements about what you think about what you're hearing. I'd be happy to hear about that. And you can also leave a voicemail for us. That number is 4-HELP-44132. 4-HELP-44132. Or if you don't want to look up the letters, it's 443-574-4132. That's 443-574-4132. That will let you leave a voicemail. And that voicemail gives us a way of listening to what you have to say, how you would like this podcast to go, responses you might have to the podcast, and gives us a way of listening in, getting a pulse for where you want to be. So let us know. Let us hear from you so we'll know how we can improve this, what we can add, questions that you might want addressed in future shows. And what I would ask is that you just stay tuned. Let us continue to help save your marriage. I wish you the best. This is Lee Balcom. We're hanging in there with you. Hang in there with us. Wish you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.